Hello and welcome to Life, Lemons and the Law, a Clark Wilmot podcast series discussing life-changing experiences of all kinds with the people involved. We'll talk about the immediate impact of those events, as well as the long-term, often positive consequences and perspectives. On this episode, first-time parents. But a pair of guests for whom those earliest days of parenthood were, by any standards, complicated. And made even more challenging by the restrictions that came as a result of the pandemic. So here on the podcast are Grace Larby and Christian Johnson. Grace, please tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so hi Ed, I'm Grace Larby. I've worked at Clark Wilmot since 2013. I previously worked as an HR manager here, and since returning from maternity leave last year, I now work as the head of the HR advisory team.
And Christian, what about you?
Hi Ed, yeah, my name's Christian Johnson. I am a senior associate in the commercial property team down in our Southampton office. I've been at Clark Wilmot now for coming up to 10 years, started in November 2012. Really focus on areas such as real estate finance, acquisition, sales and landlord and tenant work.
Fantastic. Okay, let's talk children. Grace, please tell us a little bit about Oak.
He is two. He's actually, turned two in February. He is such a happy little chap. He loves singing, dancing, and cuddles, basically, is his main thing he loves. he's a very happy little chap.
And Christian, tell us about Dora.
So, yeah, I have a lovely daughter called Dora, who is 11 months old, so coming up to her first birthday, which is very exciting. She's at the moment just loves having nonsense conversations with you, which is really fun and exciting after a day at work. It really makes it all worthwhile.
So those nonsense conversations, they have the tone of like an adult conversation, but not the words, is
absolutely
that right?
She will answer like she knows exactly what you're saying. To be fair, yeah. I'm not sure if it's me that's the nonsense side or if it's Dora, to be honest.
Yeah, fantastic. Right. Children, as wonderful as they are, having those children for you guys wasn't plain sailing, especially when COVID and lockdowns were added to the mix. Christian, can you please tell us a little bit about the momentous journey that it took for you to become a parent?
Yeah, so like you said, it wasn't massively straightforward for us. We started trying to have our first child maybe 4 or 5 years ago, thinking as our friends all did, it was going to be click your fingers and you'd be pregnant and it'd all be very exciting. That wasn't to be for us. So after many years of trying, we came to the conclusion it just wasn't going to happen. So we had to seek help and we ended up going down the IVF route, which was all just about to kick off as COVID hit. So that then put a halt on that through the first lockdown. We then had to go through the whole rigmarole of learning the IVF procedures almost at the same time as the fertility clinic, because they'd never done it remotely either at this point. So you were having to do all the seminars remotely, learn how to carry out all the injections.
I mean, I don't know how IVF works particularly, but I do know that friends have experienced a great deal of stress and financial concerns because it is a costly endeavour. Were those exacerbated by COVID?
They were to an extent. The issue we had was usually you would rely on your family for support because it's a very stressful time. But a call on the phone or a Teams call is not the same as a hug and meeting someone for a coffee and just really letting all those stresses and anxieties out. Yeah, moving on to the financial aspect as well. It's in Hampshire where we are, they allow, I think, one turn on the NHS if you qualify. So we had that. If that wouldn't have worked, then you've got to fund it yourself. And it comes in at around varying prices, but you're looking at about £14,000 for the full set of treatment. It's all a percentage game anyway. COVID did make that slightly more difficult because if any of us got COVID during the time of treatment before egg retrieval, treatment would stop, we'd lose our funding, and that would be our one go done. It could cause disaster for your funding. So I contracted COVID, but it was 2 weeks after egg retrieval. And so at this point, the treatment had just finished. Pippa was pregnant. So it meant that we couldn't go for the 7-week scan, but we had just completed the treatment.
Grace, for you, Oak also came at a difficult time.
Yeah, that's right. So I had Oak in February 2020, just kind of before or at the time when COVID was starting to hit. Once I gave birth to Oak, sort of literally within a few hours, they recognised that he had significant health complications. He would need to have some operations quite early on in his life. I gave birth to him at a midwife centre near to where we live. We were rushed straight over to the neonatal intensive care unit in Bristol. And we ended up being there for about a month in the end, I think just under a month, which was, I mean, as you can probably imagine, a really stressful time. Lots of uncertainty, lots of kind of questions coming up and worries and different specialists talking to us and kind of throwing things at us that we hadn't really considered before. He had a number of operations while we were in NICU, which was obviously scary in itself. And then we came home, I think it was just before lockdown properly started. So I think we had about 3 days and then lockdown commenced. We kind of had all that time in NICU of thinking it'd be so lovely to get home, so lovely to see friends and family and be able to kind of introduce Oak to everybody. And then obviously that didn't happen because we were in the world of just being stuck in our house.
When you and Oak were in NICU, presumably you stayed with Oak.
The way that it's set up is sadly you can't actually stay with your child. You can spend as much time with them as you want while they're in the intensive care unit, but you can't sleep there because there's not enough room. So me and my husband were able to stay at a place across the road, which is run by the Grand Appeal charity in Bristol. That was practical as well because I was feeding Oak, so I needed to be able to go back and forth during the night to feed him.
Is it hard leaving a newborn, even just to go across the street? Did you crave that proximity? How did you feel when you were, you know, you weren't in contact with him?
It was so hard, Ed. It's a really funny one actually to describe because I've never experienced that sort of push-pull before, in that you're in this kind of really stressful, intensive environment in NICU, in that you've got all these other parents around you, all with, you know, sick children in kind of incubators and stuff. And actually, in lots of ways, what you want to do is get out of there. And I'd kind of be craving like just getting out, going to Park Street, getting a coffee or something, just so I could be in somewhere normal. But then as soon as you walk away, you'd feel this intensive pull as kind of, I shouldn't be away from my baby. This is really strange. I'd find myself just feeling like I needed to be back there. It was the oddest thing. And as you say, you know, at nighttime, I'd be asleep across the road. It's obviously just a very weird way to enter parenthood. When we went into NICU, it kind of felt like we suddenly had been put into this weird computer game where it was kind of like, how many different things can we throw at this couple and see if they can still kind of keep going? Do you know what I mean? Apart from the sort of physical toll that having a baby has on your body, you know, there was the tiredness. I think I figured out I'd had about 5 days with no sleep at all. You know, then obviously your baby not being close to you, not even having like your own clothes and food. And it's like nothing I can really explain. And it was such a horrible experience. But it also did, it definitely made me appreciate the good times more. And certainly the feeling of coming home after a month in NICU was probably the best feeling of my whole life.
Do you remember them telling you that you could go home?
Oh, so well. Although there were so many false starts with that, I almost didn't fully believe them until I was actually in the car driving home. Because there'd been a number of times where there were so many people involved that different specialists had said, "Oh, yeah, I think you'll probably be good to go home later today." And it would just be, you know, I'd be over the moon, packing my bags, getting all excited, and then somebody else would say, "Oh no, I'm afraid we need to keep him in for some further checks." And it's funny, looking back now, it's kind of like, you know, we were safe, we were comfortable, we were warm, you know, why was it such a big deal? But I think you crave that normality so much when everything else in your life feels...
Well, it's an experience that you've never, ever gone through before. It's everything is new, everything. You don't have that setting where it's like, okay, I can fall back on what I know. You know nothing of this. It's all new. You're all fighting. Every day is just an unknown, and it's shattering.
Totally. And I remember saying that to my mum, like, I feel like I've stepped into somebody else's life. Nothing that I see around me is familiar. And actually, one day while I was in NICU, I did just drive back to my house just purely to look around my house and kind
check it was still there.
Yeah, because it sounds weird, but it was like a way of just kind of recentering myself, I suppose, and just getting that familiarity back.
Christian, if you don't mind, do you remember the moment you were told that the IVF had been a success? Is that how it works, or do you just have a pregnancy test?
Yes and no. So you get given a pregnancy test from the clinic and are told to wait for 2 weeks after the fertilization. And it's weird. You think, okay, 2 weeks, that's not too bad. The first week absolutely flies. And my days did. That second week, it was hour by hour, minute by minute. You're there going, are we there yet? In the end, Pippa decided, so she did one of her own pregnancy tests a day early and came down and literally just popped the positive test next to me.
Oh.
And I looked at it, and obviously I was expecting it the day after, so we were a day early. I remember just getting up and just being the happiest I've ever been, and then called the clinic, said, look, I know we're a day early, but we've got a positive test. And they were like, yeah, you've got to do it tomorrow.
So, and then did you use the official test that you'd been given by the clinic the next day?
Yes. You could just see a line on that. You could just see a line on the test that they're giving us. You know, thinking, I think it's there. We're good.
Fantastic. Oh, that made me quite emotional. Grace, back to you. You had this moment of like prison release when you and Oak were let out of NICU. You go home, you're expecting life to then be normal. It isn't. COVID lockdown hits. What were the first few months, which are normally surrounded by a support network for a new mum, like for you when that support network had been completely removed?
Yeah, so it was a really mixed bag, to be totally honest with you. So there were positives and negatives. So I think the positives were it gave us the opportunity as new, totally inexperienced parents to be able to just be us, learn our family unit, our routines, be quite lazy, you know, sleep in, not have to worry about the house being spotless. It was quite nice to be able to just settle into our own routine from that perspective. And we also had quite a lot of additional challenges and complications due to Oak's kind of medical needs that we needed to figure out for ourselves and get on board with. So it was quite nice just having the time and space to get used to that, I suppose. That was an advantage. Rich, my husband, being at home all of the time was great. I mean, now looking back, I don't know how other parents manage. I guess you just do what you have to do, don't you? But for me, it was such a joint effort. But I suppose the kind of the downsides were I was going to the hospital a lot. I had to take Oak to the hospital on every couple of days for various different tests. And that, you know, you had to wear a mask. There was obviously all the hand sanitizing. Couldn't take Rich with me. The same with sort of meeting up with other mums and things. You couldn't really see anyone else. You never got that kind of reassurance, I guess, that you get from sort of, oh, yeah, you're going through the same thing. You're having those challenges too. And, you know, or just being able to talk about stuff. So, yeah, it was a mixed bag. Yeah, I definitely recognised at the time, like, this isn't great. There are things I would love to be different.
Did you get lonely? Because children and babies are amazing, but they're not great conversationalists.
Yeah, you did, for sure. And I think this is probably a common thing for all mums, but you start to just feel like you are a machine, really. Because I was breastfeeding, and it was just kind of, you're just constantly, you're feeding, I'm never leaving my house. You know, I remember just sometimes getting in my car, you know, with Oak, and just going for a drive to wherever I could, even if it was just the drive through Starbucks or something, just purely as something to do. And I think that lack of routine, that lack of variety was very odd. It made the days this strange kind of twilight zone.
Did you miss your mum? Would you have liked her to have been around?
Yeah, absolutely. Just for that additional support would have been great. I mean, we talked on the phone a lot, and Zoom and WhatsApp video and all of that was brilliant. But yeah, I definitely really missed that contact. My older sister, I'm really close to as well, and she came over, must have been a few months into lockdown, and I remember us meeting up in the garden, and she sort of sat quite far away from me. She was quite emotional about the fact she couldn't give Oak a cuddle. I was emotional about it. We were also told by the doctors they didn't know the impact COVID might have on Oak's health condition. He's got very low kidney function is one of his issues. And they were concerned that COVID could have quite a big impact on that. So we were sort of had this additional worry of, okay, we can't take any risks.
Christian, what about yourself? Can you remember a low point, a lowest point, a toughest moment
lowest moment for myself personally would have probably been following egg retrieval before fertilization. We went in to the hospital for the egg retrieval. I wasn't allowed in, so I drove to the car park, sat in the car while Pippa went in and had the procedure done, whereas usually I would have been with her and that would have, I think, given Pippa comfort. But also, I think me, because you just sat there waiting for something to happen. That went really well. Drove Pippa home afterwards. Then her health deteriorated over the next 3 or 4 hours to the extent I had to rush her back in for scans, because it turns out that she had reacted so well to the hormone drugs that she ended up with a condition known as ovarian hyperstimulation syndrome, which was agonizingly painful for her. So she ended up in the hospital for 3 days. And at that point, because she wasn't well enough, the eggs were fertilized, but she wasn't well enough for them to then be implanted back in. So there have to be a certain quality for them to be frozen. So there was a risk that we've got X amount of embryos, but none of them is sufficient quality to be frozen. So at that point, our journey ends there. There was a real risk that we were going to fall at nearly the final hurdle, which was really tough to take. Thankfully, we had 4 eggs of sufficient quality, so they were able to store them. But it then goes back to that lonely time. Pippa's in the hospital. I can't go see her, see how she's doing. I don't feel like I'm contributing anything. And I'm just sat in an empty house, twiddling my thumbs, waiting for news on everything, feeling completely at a loss. And I can't really call on anyone at that stage for support, because we're still in, I think it was second lockdown at that stage. That was a really, really tough moment. And thankfully, we were out the other side within 3 or 4 days.
Let's talk about whether or not you feel like a different person having been through these experiences. Grace, you first. How have you changed and what have you learned?
I don't know if I feel like a different person, but I know what you mean. I definitely have grown and my mindset has changed and my approach to things has changed. I just feel like I've sort of developed quite a lot as a person in many ways, and in positive ways, I think, too, which is really good. I was just kind of listening to a lot of what Christian was saying and just kind of nodding along in my head in terms of our experiences. I mean, we've continued to have challenges since bringing Oak home. And sadly, we've had quite a few stays in hospital since where Oak's had to have further surgeries. I think just kind of being in hospital for long periods of time and there being lots of other parents and lots of other people there going through challenges just kind of reminded me, brought into sharp relief, that kind of feeling of everybody is going through something tough, or there's a huge amount of people in the world going through something tough all the time. And you kind of never know what other people are experiencing, what's going on behind the scenes. It certainly made me, I think, less quick to jump to judgment or anger or frustration when sometimes people have reacted to things in ways that might not be particularly positive towards me, or maybe people are a bit snappy or people a bit grumpy or whatever. I kind of tend to just give them a little bit more grace, I suppose, and try to be more empathetic, I guess. And through lockdown as well, I think that was kind of a key thing. It just felt like, yeah, we're all kind of struggling through this difficult time together, you know, and we've all got different challenges through COVID. It's affecting everybody in different ways. The other thing, I suppose, with kind of having a child with a disability has taught me is patience and not being able to control things. I think I am someone who I like to be quite controlled. I like to plan my life. I like to plan out my days. And certainly, you know, I think just having a child makes you realize you can't do that. But certainly also having a child who's got some complex health issues, you just can't do that anymore. And actually, I fought against that for quite a long time and that wasn't helpful. And then now I've really kind of accepted that. And it's been a really good thing for me. It's given me a big kind of just sense of relief. You know, I now just don't put the same pressure on myself that I did before. Like, I can't always stick to arrangements necessarily. I won't always get to things on time. There's some things that are just going to have to change. The number of times me and Rich have organized babysitters so we can do something, and then sadly we haven't been able to because Oak's got unwell. And it's frustrating, but it's also just reminds you of how you just can't control life, and that's okay, and you can still actually have quite a nice time anyway, and things won't look the way you expected, but they still can be good.
How's Oak now? How's his health?
He's great. He's really good. I mean, we do have ongoing challenges. As I mentioned earlier, he's got very low kidney function. So we know at some point he's going to need a kidney transplant, which will be a big thing for us to go through. But we've got brilliant support, and both through the NHS, they've been absolutely amazing. I literally cannot sing their praises high enough, but also genuinely through Clark Wilmot as well. You know, I think one of the reasons I kind of wanted to do this podcast was because they've been brilliant. And I just think it must be so hard for people who are going through some of the things which we've gone through to have an employer who aren't supportive. So yeah, but he's great. He's doing really well at the moment.
Christian, quick rewind. What has having Dora and the IVF process taught you?
I would probably echo a lot of Grace's sentiments that it's made me far more empathetic, which is probably something I lacked prior to having a child. It's a case of, again, you don't know what's going on in everyone else's lives. So someone could be short with you. Someone could really wind you up, but equally, you don't know what they're fighting against. And that's become more and more prevalent, I think, in my thinking. And it's very much a work in progress. Don't get me wrong. I still get really wound up by the smallest things at times. But actually, it's taking that step back and going, you know what? No, I'm not going to rise to whatever it is. I'm going to sit back and just let it wash over me. And I think I've got a lot better. I don't sweat the small stuff anymore. There's something going wrong with the house, or if there's something that's broken down, it is what it is. We'll deal with it. I'll moan about it. But actually, whereas before it would really send me off into a bit of an anxious spiral, it really doesn't affect me anymore. You're like, you know what? I'm here. Pippa's here. Dora's here. Everyone's okay. Don't really need much more than that. And yes, it's annoying, but hey, it is what it is. It's just taking that step back and just keeping that perspective. And having Dora has been a real, real benefit and has allowed me to take that wider, bigger, worldly view that I've hitherto probably struggled to take. I've struggled with my mental health on and off for probably 6 or 7 years. And the anxiety side of that thing, I wasn't sure having someone that you're in charge of that is completely helpless and how that would just skyrocket my anxiety. But actually, it's gone the other way. She kind of almost is the anchor that keeps me from going off in one of those spirals. And actually, when you're starting to struggle or whatever, quick cuddle, something like that. And you know what? The world's a better place.
And they really have to live in the moment, I think, don't they? Yeah. They're not living anywhere else but in the moment.
It is forcing you to live in the moment, which is a brilliant, brilliant thing to do.